And upon investigating the room, in the bathroom, you see that old woman walking towards you.
Will she be hot for the first bit?
No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting, extra spooky, tense edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Lloyd.
Lloyd Christmas.
Kind of slow tonight, isn't it, Lloyd?
I guess. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
One of the Grady sisters.
Just one. Twins?
I'm the left one.
Ah. The brother, though, of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Jimmy Stewart's evil twin.
I thought you were going to say Danny's little throat person.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony. Because he's winning a Tony Award.
His little throat person.
Little throat person. The guy living in his
it lives in his mouth.
Esophagus.
Goes down into his stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all had someone living in our throat that goes into our stomach, talks to us every now and again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Gus, over there.
Just when you thought Spooky Month was over.
Indeed.
We come back at you.
We're coming back. We're not giving you any breaks. Indeed. We watched Star Wars last week because The Mandalorian was coming out soon. It's coming out in like less than 6 days now. You got Star Wars coming out in a month or so. But this week, this Friday, correct?
Correct.
Dropping Doctor Sleep, Stephen King's Doctor Sleep, starring old Ewan Baby McGregor in the flesh as Danny Torrance. So this is a direct sequel. Doctor Sleep is a sequel to the 1980s Kubrick classic, The Shining, which is a variant of the book, different from the book. So we decided that we'd go through and watch the old Shining and talk about what's good and what's great about this classic film. This is my first watching of The Shining.
Yeah, hearing that today, you're like, this is my first time watching this movie. I immediately wanted to hit you in the face with an axe.
Yes, indeed. But you missed and hit me in the heart. But with that being said, if you're new to our show here, let me just give you a brief overview what we're about. So, every week we take a film and watch it. We then take to the pod to discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought about it, and that. We then submit that film to the factory. That is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just modern booking. Because people say, oh, wow, why does that need a remake? It's just imagining who would be
it's
in it,
for
people.
Fun.
It's for fun. Calm down. It's not happening. We're not that famous. Anyways, then once that's over, we get into a little a questiony time. She comes. So, with that being said, this week we watched The Shining 1980 Kubrick classic. And boy howdy, I think this was the spookiest film we watched, and it's not even Spooky Month anymore.
I am tense.
It was tense. It is a tense movie right from the get-go.
Yeah, as far as the Brothers Movie Factory goes, either this or I'd say The Exorcist is probably the most spooky.
Probably. Yeah. Or Tremors. No, definitely. And to be honest, this film isn't, I mean, I would classify it as a horror film.
Oh, it is.
But it's almost, it's just something about it. It's not like terrifying, but it
shut
also is at the same,
this.
At the same time it is. As it,
explain your words.
Chew your gum. So it's in a sense, it's like, nothing, it's not like your average slasher. It's not formulaic like a normal horror movie. It's very tedious in setting you up and breaking you down over time through sounds, through music, through imagery. It makes you very unsettled. That's probably through most of this film. I was never at a moment where I was like, easy. Even like simple conversations between Wendy, played by Shelley Duvall, and her teeth. And Jack Nicholson and his eyebrows playing Jack. torrents. Even simple conversations between them, I'm like, ooh. I'm like tense. Like, ugh, there's something muddling under the waters here. Like, there's a scene.
Just that easy.
Yeah, there's a scene where she brings him breakfast. And it's like 11 o'clock. So he shouldn't be tired. But he's like, you can tell he's like annoyed with her talking to him. He's like, yeah, thanks. This is great. I guess I should go to bed earlier. Get off my back, will ya?
He doesn't say that.
No.
But he gives off that vibe.
It does.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I suppose I should do a little bit of writing. And she's like, oh, yeah, it takes a little bit of time to get back in the swing of it. He's like, yep, it's just that easy.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. And so I guess we should talk about kind of the setup to the film. But before we even get to the setup of the film, Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick, infamously known rather for a very tedious and particular director, directed such films as 2001 A Space Odyssey, The Shining, Dr. Strangelove and How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, and
Clockwork Orange.
Any others after that? He didn't
Eyes
do a lot.
Wide Shut. And Full Metal Jacket.
Indeed. But so he didn't really do a lot
He did more before that. What did
those
he
are
do?
Like his big ones, though.
Yeah, he did The Killers. Did he do a movie called Barry Lyndon or something like that? Lyndon.
He did Hot Rod. He did Happy Gilmore.
Great comedies.
Known
for his humor.
Yes, very. But I mean, his movies, I mean, I've watched three now. I've watched Strangelove, I've watched this, and I've watched
2001
A Space Odyssey. I've seen a lot of Full Metal Jacket. I've seen the parts that everyone says are good, and then, at the second half, everyone's like, ugh.
You ever saw Clockwork Orange?
No, I don't feel like feeling bad.
Well, you watched this tonight now, didn't you?
Yeah, but isn't Clockwork a little more intense?
Well, depends on how you look at it,
I guess. Definitely, I actually have a great respect for 2001 A Space Odyssey as a film. A lot of people think it's boring. I say that's more so people who aren't, like, big moviegoers in terms of, like, respecting what he did with it and everything.
I find that movie very important, very fascinating. I have a lot of respect for it, too. Might be the most boring movie I've ever
seen. It's pretty damn boring.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I read the book as well. And the book was written by Arthur C. Clarke. And I read the book first and then watched the movie. And then I kind of did some research. And it's funny that very rarely does this happen, but Arthur C. Clarke and Stanley Kubrick wrote and directed the film at the same time.
Yeah.
So they were like in tandem with each other. Now, with The Shining, this movie had, or book had already been out for a while, correct?
13 years at that point.
Yeah, so, and Stanley Kubrick, which I think he also, because 2001 A Space Odyssey is a lot different, the movie is a lot different than the book. Pretty sure Clockwork Orange is a lot different than the book. The Shining, the movie, is so much different than the book that Stephen King absolutely hated it.
Yeah, famously hates it. I you read 2001, I read The Shining, and it is very different than this film. At first, after I read it, I'm definitely like, oh, the movie is so much better. Whatever Stanley Kubrick was tapping into is so much more potent than what I took out of the book. However, there are some key points in the book in which this film is based on that would have been nice to have in this film.
Figuring out who Tony is.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's this little throat person living in Danny?
In the book, he's not in his mouth. He sees Tony.
Tony's in his penis.
that's me.
That's your imaginary friend.
My imaginary friend is my penis. So now he sees like a physical person in Tony. But one of the biggest differences that would have been nice in this film, I do think, would be in the book. It gives you time to understand Jack Torrance, or John Torrance in the book. He's much more of the family man.
Well, there can be more in a book in terms of exposition and explaining what's going on and stuff.
I mean, right from the get-go with the family, you sense some unease, which is what Kubrick was going for.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to see him more in that vein. Also, a detail, small detail, from the book that didn't make it into the film, which would have aided, I think. He mentions in the film that he was a teacher.
Yeah.
But that's not his calling anymore. In the book, he was indeed a teacher, but he got into a fight with a student and beat the shit out of him. And he got fired, and he can't get hired anywhere anymore.
I can see Jack Nicholson doing that.
Listen here, you little son of a bitch. So that's a little detail that would have been nice to have. And riddled throughout, there are several other differences, and we'll touch on those here and there. But as far as the film goes, this is your first viewing. You said you felt unsettled. What are some things you liked or didn't like about it?
First, I think I have to credit Kubrick's film work, like shots, the shots he had, some of the shots throughout the film. Make you feel unsettled because they're almost disorienting. Like for the one that keeps popping in my head is toward the end, but when she hits Jack with the bat and locks him in the fridge or the storage area for all the food, and it's the shot of her like sitting outside the door, and then it goes into him, and it's like from underneath at his chin almost. But it's, like, turned around, so it's, like, almost like you're looking at him upside down in a way.
Yeah,
it's kind of
like
weird.
It's like you're laying down looking up at him.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, he's looking almost, but he's looking forward. He's not making eye. It's weird. It's like a disorienting shot. Or even what came first, this or the Omen?
Omen.
That's kind of like the tricycle shot. It's kind of similar to that, correct? The behind the back, though, like third-person view of Danny going through the halls is almost disorienting in a sense because you're, like, following him, but you're behind him. It's almost like you're on a roller coaster.
It did use some new technology, or I guess new equipment, that was developed around this time, the Steadicam. I was mentioning that to you earlier. Steadicam had only been used in a couple other films prior to this. And it was a nice aid, because you're like, where are the tracks?
Yeah, I was like, there can't be a track for them to go on, because if there was, you'd see it. Which I'm sure now they could have done, like, a track on the roof or
whole
something.
Whole movie would be digital.
Yeah. Hey. but, and which we'll see in Dr. Sleep.
I'm sure we will.
There'll probably be one moment of shitty CGI in that. Yeah. So, I think that some of his shots are just so unsettling. A lot of his third-person shots in this, like behind the backs, where I say third-person, it'd be like an average regular shot, right? But it's the way he shoots it. Like when Jack's wandering with the axe after Danny, it's like from right behind him, almost like you're on his shoulder, like falling.
Almost
through.
Gears of War.
Yeah, almost Gears of War is what I was thinking, honestly. But some of the shots are just crazy. The music, which... You almost, I mean, I know you're like, I love this music, but you almost can't even call it music. It's more like noise.
There's one track of music.
Most of it is more noise-based.
Yes. It's one of the first films to do that exclusively for, like, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Now it's very common.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is, like, a lot of high-pitched frequencies, which I have this feeling just make you uneasy, and I don't know why. Like, there's probably a science to it. But, like, I feel like high-pitched frequencies really... Maybe it's just high-pitched noises kind of freak
me
out.
It's like nails on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
You know?
But so it's almost jarring, though. There's moments where it gets almost too loud, to the point where throughout the film, there are moments where it'll go, like, 1 month later, or Tuesday, or 4 a.m., and it's like, it hits, and I'm like, fuck! Like, it scared the shit out of me. Because it'd be like... I'm like, Jesus!
There was a scene, I mean, we got our big sound we listened to today. We had it cranked pretty loud. We were watching on the old 4K. There's that shot of swinging Dick hollering, laying in bed, and he was receiving that shining message from Danny. That high-pitched was so piercing, I thought I was going to throw up.
My glass shattered. the music, but not even the music, the sound, The sound was awful jarring, but it was great because it made me uneasy throughout. The movie, that's what I'm thinking, I guess, is what I liked is that the movie set out to make you uneasy, and it succeeds greatly. So his shots are great. The choice of, you know, music and sound is great. I think the acting's really good throughout. There were some moments, I don't know if you pick up on, I know this movie sits well in your heart. There were some moments that felt not jarring, but almost like they were being read from a script.
These lines?
Some of the time with Dick Halloran, when he's like talking on the phone with Duke, from it felt like it was, I don't know, very like not a lot of acting. It was more like, it didn't feel like a conversation. It felt like they were going like, "Hey, I need a cat. Can you get it for me?" And he's like, I guess I can. I can do that for you. Yeah, when are you going to be here? It was just like, there wasn't a lot of emotion to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. When Shelley Duvall, Wendy, is on the radio with the cop, and she's like having the conversation with him.
We're doing fine up here.
Yeah, it didn't feel to me like she was talking to anyone. There was no, and maybe, I don't know if it's just, I'm sure Kubrick wouldn't let that fly, but especially with Shelley Duvall. But, there was a couple moments where I'm like, that didn't feel right to me in the way that it was probably meant to be. I could be completely wrong. Who am I? I'm 24601. that was the one thing I did notice. But, I mean, Jack Nicholson is a phenomenal psychopath. I'd be a great Joker. I don't know why they haven't done it yet. Shelley Duvall, this is the second thing I've seen her in. She's in Popeye, correct?
Correct.
So the second thing I've seen her in. Yeah. And she's good. She's good.
You were worried about her at first. You were like, isn't she famously known for being bad in this movie? I was like, I don't think so.
I thought it was like...
She was nominated for a Razzie for this movie.
Okay.
But Stanley Kubrick was nominated for a Razzie as well.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe that's... Jesus, hit the mic. Maybe that's what I was thinking. I don't know. I feel like I... Because I have seen a lot of things on this movie. I've seen a lot of shots. Seen a lot of scenes. So I knew I could piece together what this movie is about. I've never seen it all together. So, you know, I guess I could say I've seen it, but I never actually sat down and watched it as a whole.
Make me
so
sick.
Yeah, I know. I felt like her performance is good. She's very disheveled and on edge and nervous, but that was mostly because Kubrick was bullying the fuck out of her.
Yeah, what do you know about all that business?
I just know Kubrick tried to do a lot of things to get her basically into character of being like this very stressed out, worried woman. But didn't he do things like he was very mean to her, very rude, but also like wouldn't let people talk to her?
Yeah, he wouldn't let people feel sympathy for her.
Yeah.
He's like, pay her no mind. She deserves this.
Yeah.
And he would say that kind of stuff in front of her. He would just...
He basically being like, spousal abuse to her.
Like, if they did a take, he would get upset and yell at her and say, you're wasting everybody's time and stuff like that. Like, just really getting into her emotionally.
Yeah.
But like other actors like Jack Nicholson and Stanley Kubrick, they never had anything like that. It was just...
Jack Nicholson was perfect.
It's just with Shelley Duvall, and he just wanted her to feel and look and just be as distraught as possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jack Nicholson wasn't acting in this film. He was just being himself. So.
This whole movie was behind the scenes.
Yeah. He's really dead. I think that she did a good job. It's one of those things where probably in the time, as The Shining itself, the movie, isn't appreciated. And then as the years go on, they see. I mean, we've done. I feel like we do that more often than not. Originally, when we started this podcast, we were going to do bad films, and through that, we've just done whatever the hell we want because it's our show. But we have done a lot of movies that are considered or were considered bad when they came out, but now they're considered cult classics, or in this case, a classic.
Yeah. Shining was not well received when it came out.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting. And I can see why. It's for the time, the 80s. I mean, that's maybe a turning point, but there's a lot of jarring imagery in this film. and a lot of like artsy fartsy bullshit going on when you really get down to it, I guess. Like, not artsy fartsy, but deep thinking bullshit to get by, like, get under and figure out and wonder, like, what the hell's going on? Even the ending is pretty abrupt.
Especially the ending.
Yeah, it's pretty abrupt. And you're like, ah! Yeah, so it's all...
And it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Which is long for a horror movie in general.
It's one doozy of a day.
Actually, Dr. Sleep, which is coming out this weekend, the sequel to The Shining, as a film, it is going to be longer than The Shining.
237 minutes?
No.
Do you get it, though?
No. It's gonna
That's
be,
the room.
I think it's
by the by.
Two hours and 30 minutes on the nosy.
On the little nosy there. I think that this film deserves the classic status. I mean, Kubrick, obviously we talked about his directing, but Jack Nicholson's acting in this is, you know, on point. Even Danny Torrance there. I'm not a fan of kid actors.
It's
he
one
did
of the, my favorite child performances ever. It was his first thing he ever did. And he didn't do much after this. I don't even know if he did anything after this, to be honest. I have to look it up. But funny little story. He didn't know he was in a horror movie. He thought they were acting in a drama. And Stanley Kubrick was very protective of Danny during this movie, to the point where even like shots where Wendy was like holding Danny and running away from Jack, they used a little dummy, a little prop Danny.
Really?
You don't even notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
So he didn't see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
See, that's neat.
Yeah, it wasn't until he was about 11 that he watched a cut of this movie, but it was extremely edited. And then it wasn't until he was 17 that he actually saw the movie and realized it was a horror movie then. It's like, 10 years later.
What?
Yeah. I can't imagine. And then he grew up to be Ewan McGregor, apparently. Yeah.
Then he grew up to be Jack Nicholson. It's confusing, I know. But
he
so
grew
is this
up
movie.
To be
to be his dad. My father, your son.
Holy cannoli, you're my sister.
Yeah.
You've always been the... What is it?
Number one, a guy.
What does he want to be?
A son of a bitch.
What is it he's trying to be?
Who?
Jack Nicholson's character, Jack Torrance. He wants to be the... I keep wanting to say gatekeeper, but that's not it.
Hotel keeper, caretaker?
The caretaker.
Ah.
Thank God. The gatekeeper. Are you the key master?
The key master.
Shit, that's where my brain was going.
Rick Moranis.
He's
as
my Jack
Torrance.
Oh, shit.
I'm not going to hurt you.
Okay. That sound like
is that your all the Rick Moranis lines? And that's okay. We're just gonna be playing Parcheesi and hanging out.
Okay, who brought the dog?
I got the cheese down at John Eagle, 55 a pound.
He's from Pittsburgh. Got John Eagle. But just this movie is wonderful in its acting. Wonderful in its direction, very meticulously made.
Been spoofed to all hell.
Yeah, the just the scenery in this movie is amazing. The,
also isolating and terrifying.
You know, tell me about it. That classic carpet.
Yeah,
I want that.
Toy Story.
You
know, it's funny because we grew up in the woods. So I like think back to that sometimes. I'm like, how the fuck was I not more scared? Like growing up, like
you didn't see The Shining,
I guess. But like, just like think about it. It was so dark out there all the time. Like the woods, like that's creepy, right? Like I think back on that. I'm like, that was scary.
Maybe
like,
we're immune.
Now I feel like if I would like stay at a cabin, I'd be like, yeek. Like after old wedding day, we stayed at a cabin, and I was like thinking of the strangers the entire time. I'm like, I'm gonna die out here.
Okay, if you were offered, I'll say, $1 million, would you stay in that hotel for 6 months over the winter.
I thought it was five.
Whatever it is.
5 months, and I'm offered $1 million.
Yeah.
With my family, like my dog and the wife.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to kill the dog. I don't want to kill the wife.
That's what you say, right?
I like how I did dog first, right? I don't want to kill the dog or the wife. Don't worry.
What'd you do it?
Internet?
No.
Video games.
TV.
Not even Sega?
No. You're writing a book.
I'm writing a book. Fuck, I'm really bad at English. I'd be like, I'd go crazy because like I'd hand it to wife and she'd look at it and be like, use the wrong form of two again. And be like, come here! God damn it! God damn adjectives.
I need a drink. Sold my soul for a glass of beer.
I don't know. I'm pretty creeped out with that stuff. I mean, I love me ghosts. I love me horror stories. One of my big guilty pleasures is Ghost Adventures, the show. Because, I mean, while it is a very popular show, I think they're on, like, their 16th season, which is pretty damn impressive. It's also one of those where I feel like if I tell someone, like, hey, I watch Ghost Adventures, they're like, you watch Ghost Adventures? You watch that show? You know, it's fake, right? I'm like, nah, it's all real.
Just like Ancient Aliens.
They've done the Stanley Hotel, which is what Overlook is based on. Yeah, Ancient Aliens is my other guilty pleasure, but Stanley Hotel is what this is based on, and I mean, I like that stuff. I like ghosts. I like that shit.
Tell me about that episode a bit, because Stephen King wrote his novel while he was staying at that hotel, while he was an extreme alcoholic.
It's
shit.
Been a long time since I watched that specific episode. I do know they actually stay there a night. They have a lot of stuff happen. They stay in the haunted room. I feel like the actual haunted room is room 217.
I think it is.
Like, legitimately. Which it is in the book, it's 217. In the movie, it's 237. But 217 in the movie, or in the book, I'm sorry, and in real life. I forget what actually happened there in real life. But they actually do not only the hotel, but the carriage house that's attached. A lot of bad things happen there. A lot of death just happened in the Stanley Hotel. And apparently it is one of the most haunted places in America.
They chose to film there, too, for the,
ambiance.
No, the 1997 made-for-TV Shining film. That was written for the screen by Stephen King himself.
Yeah, because he wants an accurate representation of
it.
Look.
Is. Just to gently touch on some more differences, the Shining film, famously known for Jack Torrance swinging the axe.
Johnny.
Yeah, bashing the door, classic line. In the book, he doesn't use an axe. He uses a croquet mallet.
Not as effective.
Obviously, he doesn't say, here's Johnny. That was an ad-libbed line by Jack Nicholson. He says, his line is, take your medicine. It's time to take your medicine. The book focuses more on the hotel being haunted and wanting to absorb Danny.
He
has the Shining, and the hotel wants to be more powerful, and it's haunted. It's like this beacon for evil.
Yeah.
And it wants to absorb Danny, so it uses the father and possesses him in a sense, and more drives him mad, and to kill the family so the hotel can absorb their energies.
So let me spitball this with you. Now that I've seen The Shining, I can actually speculate on Dr. Sleep. You've read Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
You told me that in Dr. Sleep, old Dick is a much bigger character. He's a big character.
Yeah, because in the book, he doesn't die. In the film, he dies.
Yeah. Gets axed right in the heart.
Yuck. Disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty rough. But because you're like, he's coming to save him. Then, right in the chest. What if in the movie maybe they do something where his shining gets absorbed by the house?
Yeah, they're going to have to figure something out.
He's a force ghost.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor knows something about that.
I guess spoiler alert for Dr. Sleep. I mean, we've been doing spoilers for The Shining here. Just as a book, It's about Danny growing up. So the little boy from The Shining, what happens if he becomes a 40-year-old man?
Mm.
And what happened throughout his life? He grows up and he is still possessed, or haunted rather, by ghosts. Especially ghosts from the Overlook Hotel. They follow him. Because
the dog?
Yeah, the dog man.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
The old woman in the bathtub.
I mean, she's hot at first.
amongst others. And because in the finale of the book, Jack Torrance, the father, he realizes what he's doing, and he's able to fight off the evil, and he tells Danny that he loves him and sends him off to, like, save the mother and get out of here, and Jack blows up the hotel by...
turns on all the gas.
Yeah, overloading the boiler.
Mm.
And it blows up, so, yeah. Anyway, so that's a huge difference between that and the movie.
So I wonder, like, they're gonna, like, the people are gonna come in the spring and be like, there is, there's the cook dead on the ground, and there's a frozen icicle of a man outside. Smiling for some reason.
In Dr. Sleep, Dick Halloran teaches Danny that you can use your shining. Get that face out of here. You can use your shining to capture spirits and lock them away in your mind. So that's what Danny does. He takes those ghosts that have been haunting him and locks them away in his brain.
He's sixth sense, but kick ass.
And but it's more like he locks these spirits away in his mind, but they haunt him in his mind, but he, like, they're away.
Yeah.
They can't harm anyone else. So he uses alcohol to suppress the voices.
That worked for his dad.
Yeah. So that's kind of what Dr. Sleep is about. But ultimately, Danny finds his way in hospice care. He uses his shining to help people die, hence the name Dr. Sleep. And then the whole main purpose of the story is there's this group called the True Knot. They're like vampires, but they suck out the shining. They feed on people's shining, and they're after this little girl who has the most potent shining of anyone who's ever lived, and it'll help this group live forever, and they're slowly dying off. So they're after her, and then she sends out like this big SOS, and it goes to Danny through The Shining, and he has to, like, help her and protect her from this group called the True Knot. So it'd be interesting to see what
seems
this...
seems a lot different than the book.
It is.
It seems more open.
It is more open.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And the finale of Dr. Sleep is amazing, and I don't know how the film is going to be because it is a sequel to the movie.
Is there a father-son Kamehameha?
Yeah, and I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not going to be disappointed if it's different than the book.
Because it's not supposed
to be. It is my favorite book of all time.
But it's not supposed to be the same as the book.
It won't be. It's the sequel to the movie, and the movie is so different than the book, The Shining. So, yeah.
It'd be interesting. Jurassic Park Lost World, or Lost World Jurassic Park, is a sequel to the movie. It's not the book. It's not the book sequel.
I'm very excited for this new film to come out. It's one of my most anticipated of 2019.
Yeah, I'm more excited now than I was.
Yeah,
like I hadn't seen
The Shining.
I hadn't seen The Shining. I was like, it looks really good, but I don't know what's going on. Like, I know of what's, like, going on, I guess, but yeah. Like, I had seen the made-for-TV version before I saw this.
That would be helpful. No, it won't, because this...
completely different.
This movie is, sequel to the 1980 film. Just some differences between the source material and the film. But as a film, and what you're given, if you don't know the previous source material, this is brilliant and horrifying, chilling, as you said, isolating, cold...
Even the use of what's that sound? Diegetic? Where it's when it's like
when it's in there?
Yeah, like the wind howling. That's like it's whistling and howling, and you're like, Jesus.
Hollering and pounding
and screaming.
I think a good word that this movie fills you with slowly throughout, like if it's a 2.5 hour movie and you got this increase of this word I'm about to use, it'd be dread, just slowly throughout.
A rising dread.
Yeah.
Instead of what was it usually in a story timeline? It's like rising tension or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And you climax, and then you falling action.
And, this movie is It just, right from the get-go.
This movie climaxes, and it's like, done.
Yeah. This movie, right from the moment it opens, it just, you feel uneasy.
Yeah.
It's that, it's those, like, helicopter shots of, like, the valley and the mountains and that music. Broom, broom, broom,
yeah.
Broom. You're like, fuck. I feel odd.
I'm in for a ride.
Yeah.
And when he's like, it took me 3 hours, you're like, fuck, this guy's crazy. Yeah.
Took me 3 hours to finish the movie, but I'm here.
Yeah. And I'm crazy.
He's crazy from the get-go. Like, as soon as he walked in the hotel, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Dad, I'm hungry. Well, you should have eaten your breakfast, you little son of a bitch. Here's a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, if it was made today. What if it was made today?
If it was made today, you want to talk about if it was made today? You want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I say that to all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
Thank you. And I'm going to punch you in the face. Put on your glasses. All right. So, in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. This is where we take said film and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same movie, modern booking. So, Shining, 1980. We're going to do the director. We're going to do the composer. We're going to do Jack, Wendy, and we can't really do Danny. Gus and I are very bad at younger actors, and especially with him being like, this was his first film. It'd probably, if it came out today, probably be an unknown. Probably be someone that's never been cast in anything before. So we're not going to worry about Danny. The actor that played him did such a great job. I'll leave it at that. But because we're not doing Danny, we decided we'd do Dick's character as well. Because he is a big portion.
Dick Holler.
Yeah. So go ahead. The Shining, 1980. Who do you have?
I was going to ask, who do you have? Boy.
So Dr. Sleep is being directed by who?
Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan. You said Flaherty today.
I did.
I remember because I looked it up afterwards and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan.
This loser. this weak loser. So for mine, my director, decided to go with an actor that's, or sorry, not an actor, but a director that's not really known for much. He's known for horror films, but really has only had two big-time horror films, and then has directed some great horror shows, if you will. So for my pick, I went with a Mr. Sorry, I just clicked off his name. I believe it's Ciarán Foy. Ciarán Foy. C-I-A-R-A with a little apostrophe over it. N and then Foy. Mm-hmm. That'd be Ciarán, right?
Sure.
What
has he done?
He is most... His biggest release was Sinister 2.
Toi?
He directed Sinister 2. That is his biggest release. Now, recently, he just directed the movie Eli, which I watched recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also, he has done work on The Haunting of Hill House. Now, I was trying to figure out exactly what he did on The Haunting of Hill House.
Did he direct, like, an episode?
Haunting of Hill House was created by Mike Flanagan,
mm-hmm.
who is directing Dr. Sleep. He did direct one episode. Mike Flanagan directed the other 11 of Hill House. So he has kind of taken a foray into, I mean, that's what he's known for is horror. He's worked hand in hand with the director that's bringing us Dr. Sleep. And Sinister 2, while its story is kind of messy, it doesn't have like I've talked to you about Sinister 2. It doesn't exactly have the same oomph that Sinister had because we know what's going on. We right. know who the bad guy is. And it's got a weaker cast because you lost Ethan Hawke. And Ethan Hawke, I mean, holy shit. His performance in Sinister is fantastic. Yeah, so Sinister 2. And Eli takes... it's in a sense, this is why I went with it. Eli takes place in a singular home, a mansion, the entire time. That's what Eli's in. Kid actor, you're going to knock over your swords. Kid actor, You got two parents, you got your doctor and her, like, nuns. There's barely anyone else there. So it's very small cast, and it's basically in a giant mansion. And there's a lot of, not similarities by any sense of the mean, because Eli is, in my opinion, not that great of a film in terms of, not in terms of its directing, in terms of its story. So I think that the directing was really good. I think a lot of the shots are really good. Especially, I don't know if you remember that trailer I showed you where, like, he turns around and points his camera and there's, like, a ghost there, and he puts his, not his camera, but his flashlight, puts his flashlight down, puts it back up, gets a little closer.
Don't like
puts
that
it down,
stuff.
Puts it up again, it's right there chasing him, like, rah, rah. I'm like, yeah! So, I think he's a good pick for this, so Syrian Foy.
Alright, I don't like that stuff.
What?
When it's like, cut away, cut back, cut away, cut back!
There's a couple like that. There's one where there's a moment in the film where there's a mirror on, like, a wardrobe, and he's, like, looking at it, and nothing's behind him, and he kind of, like, pushes it shut, and it slowly opens back up, and then there's something behind him all of a sudden, and he kind of, like, looks at it and pushes it shut, and it opens back up, and there's something in a different spot, and he shuts it and puts it back, and nothing's there. And he turns around, nothing's there. Turns back, it's like, bleh! Like, it's very methodical. So I think he'd do a good job.
Don't like that.
He did a good job directing this. So.
My pick is the obvious pick. should just set it right from the get-go, because he kind of did. It's Mike Flanagan. He's directing Dr.
Cheating,
Sleep.
Though.
It's not cheating. He's going to direct The Shining. He's directed other Stephen King works, such as Gerald's Game. He's just a great horror director. He's done Oculus. Did you ever see Oculus? Pretty spoochy.
One with the Ouija board?
No, that's with the mirror.
You think that's spooky? Oh, shit.
It's spoochy up until the end. The end sucks. Hush? Do you ever see Hush? A lot of people like Hush.
Oh, that's the one with the lady that's deaf.
I don't know. I think so. Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It looks good. I just never want. I never want to watch it. I won't
he
be
did one called Before I Wake, which I heard good things about.
I've heard of that.
He did Ouija, Origin of Evil, the second one, and they say the second one.
You mean Ouija?
Yeah, I know.
Ouija. Choke yourself.
Yeah. The sequel. The first one was shit. Supposedly the sequel is really good. Gerald's Game, which is a great adaptation of the Stephen King work. He did Haunting of Hill House, which is scary AF, and then Dr. Sleep comes out soon. So if he's doing the sequel, might as well do the prequel of the sequel.
I give it to you, because I mean, you are right, it's the right choice for the job. But
right,
I was trying,
man,
to be original.
I was he didn't
liar.
We already know who's doing the music.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you say his name?
Shit, I don't remember.
We always use
him all the time. Every horror movie we've done, we use
him. This is true. But, you know,
it's perfect.
It is. I'm sure he was inspired by The Shining. But he pays so much homage to it in his films. Joseph Bessara, he is famous for the Insidious movies, Conjuring, things like that. And, yeah, just listen to any one of his tracks and you'll have nightmares.
Even like that ding 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 ding.
Yeah, you hear that, and then you hear you hear that noise in The Shining.
Yeah.
Only like that noise, ding 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 ding. Imagine that just layered a million times. Yeah. That's The Shining score.
It's like, fuck this. What about old Dick Halloran? Who you got for Dick Halloran?
That's one I'm not too sure on, because it was thrown on me a little.
How about Morgan Freeman?
A little late in the game.
Ah, Morgan Freeman. You want
some ice cream, Doc?
How'd you know? How'd you know we call him Doc? Because I have The Shining. Because I can smell
oh,
you.
Oh, well. I must have heard you say it somewhere.
Andy Dufresne told me. I used to have a friend that lived in my throat named Andy Dufresne. Shawshank.
You ever wonder that in Shawshank Redemption, which is also written by Stephen King, that inner monologue is actually Tony. Or his auntie.
What have I done?
Yes, I
am God. Samuel Jackson?
Motherfucker! I warned you! He
gets hit with the axe and goes, ah!
I'll take Samuel Jackson.
Is he too big for this role? Actually, Samuel Jackson seems to like to take small roles from time to time.
He's like, I show up for one day and get axed in the heart? Shit.
Remember, Danny, they're just like pictures in a book. They aren't real.
Shoot.
It's time to see pictures, aren't you?
That's all you had to say.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Dick hollering. Hollering and pounding.
Screaming and... what about old Wendy Torrance?
Wendy. Wendy, darling, light of my life. I'm going with Judy Greer. Are you familiar with Judy?
The name sounds familiar.
You've seen her in lots of stuff. You saw her in something recently. You recently saw her in the Halloween remake. She plays the older sister.
Ah, yes.
She's in The Village. Gotcha. She's in Jurassic World. She's in Ant-Man.
Was she in Jurassic World?
She's a very small role, but she
plays... she's the mom.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard's sister. Yeah. She's in 13 Going on 30, 27 Dresses, lots of stuff like that. Recently, she was in that Kidding show. She's appeared in Family Guy throughout the years as Judy Greer. Yes, I pick her because she is kind of reminiscent of Shelley Duvall in a sense. But I like her acting. She's never the lead, or rarely is, and I think she deserves a little moment to shine. In The Shining, Judy Greer.
Judy Greer. I was gonna say she isn't normally the star of the picture. So we talked about it Shelley Duvall was 31.
I mean, Judy Greer is 44.
Okay. Both my picks, I had two, so I'm going to spit both of them out.
Spit on me.
I think they're both good picks. I had one particularly in mind. She's 48. I have another that's 49.
Doesn't matter.
I think they could, either way, they'd be fine. Fuck! So the first pick is Winona Ryder. She's done this before. Mom in Stranger Things. I almost said Noah Schnapp's mom, but that's not it. Will's mom in
Joyce.
Yeah, Joyce. She's great. She's only gotten better. Winona Ryder, famous for things like Beetlejuice, Mr. Deeds.
Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands.
Heathers.
A very, very prominent actor in like the 90s, early 2000s, right?
80s,
90s. Yeah, and today. But she's done it before, right? She's been the crazy mom. She's
been the disheveled mother.
Yeah, and I think she would do well with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so my other pick is another mother that has handled being the disheveled mother before, and I liked this pick better than Winona Ryder.
Our mother.
Yes. Essie Davis.
Essie Davis, why don't I know
you're not looking!
Is?
Mommy! Mommy, you're not looking!
Yeah.
From The Babadook.
Yeah.
Right? Because she basically does the same thing!
Yeah.
Yeah, Essie Davis.
Those are both great.
In The Babadook. If you haven't seen The Babadook, that's another film that, for whatever reason... it's a lot like this, where it doesn't really stick to the same concepts of horror, but it's terrifying at the same time. It keeps you on edge, and then at the end, you're like, what the fuck just happened?
She's great.
And she is great, yeah.
I thought she should have got nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
Essie Davis, she's an Australian actress, but she is phenomenal.
Just be normal.
Yeah, she is phenomenal in it, and I think she would do a good job. She's 49, Winona Ryder's 48, but I don't think it matters.
I'm going to make you flip for your own, too, and then you got to flip against me.
Shit, that sucks. All right, one sec. Let me write her down just so I have her here. So I remember to say her name. All right, we'll go heads, Winona Ryder, tails, Essie Davis. Here we
Come
go.
Come play with us, Danny.
Tails, Essie Davis.
Okay, now you got to flip me for old Essie Davis or Judy Greer.
Essie Davis, Judy Greer. Heads, Essie Davis, tails, Judy Greer.
Forever. Oof.
Tails, Essie Davis. It's Judy Greer.
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. It was because I did Tails was Essie Davis last time. Judy Greer as our Wendy. Sure, oh, sure. All right,
Wendy,
Jack.
Wendy, darling, light of my life. I have one that you're going to be like, but then you might get on board with me. Say yours first.
So mine, Originally, I got this idea because of Winona Ryder, Adam Sandler. No. Come here.
I can just see him like chasing him, like he's chasing down.
They like come into the, they're like, there was a woman in the bathtub, and they go in like after him because he hasn't been back in a while, and they find him in the bathtub. He's like, shampoo is better.
Instead of hitting Dick Halloran with an axe in the chest, he hits him with a golf club. He's like, so long, shaka.
Yeah. Just tap it in. Just tap it in. And we'll get, instead of Dick Halloran played by Samuel L., we'll get, shut up, Happy.
You did jokingly say Carl Weathers earlier.
Yes. Shut up, Happy.
Yeah.
But for my Jack, I decided to go with David Harbour. Not in law, he's great in Stranger Things again. I was thinking the Winona Ryder, David Harbour combo at first, and then Essie Davis popped into my head as I watched this film, and I'm like, this reminds me a little bit of Babadook in terms of it's keeping you on edge. But yeah, I feel like David Harbour, he's done kind of a little bit of the crazy. He wasn't everyone's favorite character in season 3 of Stranger Things, but in season 2 and season 1, he's phenomenal. And he does have like the moment of like kind of paranoia madness in season 1. He was just most recently in Hellboy, which was a bomb. But from what I understand, it's not really his fault. It's more of a lack of direction in terms of what the movie's going for. Is it a comedy? Is it a serious film, etc.? So yeah, David Harbour. I feel like he would be able to get that slipping into madness going.
Oh, yeah.
And also be evil at the same time.
Who I was in between two for a little bit. I was thinking originally of Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Stewart. I'm trying to write.
Yeah. I was thinking Patrick Wilson, but then I was like, that's almost exactly what he played in Insidious 2.
Yeah.
I do love Patrick Wilson. I'll save him
for
another day.
You're an ungrateful bitch.
I'll save him for another day. Who I'm going with that you might be like, but hear me out. He's a little
Josh Gad.
He's a little older too, but he also looks young. And that is Jim Carrey.
From the number 23.
From the number 23.
I had a feeling you might do that, actually.
Jim Carrey? From number 23.
What joke did I make with Jim Carrey tonight?
Yeah, as soon as you said it earlier, I'm like, shh. Yeah. Don't say anymore. To start off, you're like, Austria. His work in, I think his dramatical work.
Yeah, he's great.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
He's phenomenal.
Truman Show, Man on the Moon, The Majestic.
But if you base this on number 23, he's got a very similar slip into madness.
He can be crazy, but I like his tender moments when he's a serious actor. Mm. And I would like to maybe rub that a little bit in this movie. Imagine that car ride at the beginning of The Shining. Like, Dad, I'm hungry. And what's the Donner Party?
Should've eaten your breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and he's like, see, honey? He saw it on the TV. He saw it on television.
He saw it on television, honey.
See, it'd be so much more cheery.
Here, pull my finger. He pulls up at a gas station and be like, excuse me, I'm looking to get to the Overlook Hotel. I'm supposed to be there to be the caretaker for the winter, and my wife's a little lost.
Brilliant. Go with Jim Carrey.
All right. So we'll go heads, David Harbour tails, Jim Carrey. Here we go.
Got one just for that line.
What? Well, you got it, tails, Jim Carrey. I lost this whole goddamn movie, other than Joseph Bizarre and Samuel Jackson that we both agreed on.
Yeah.
All right, 1980s Shining remake. We got Mike Flanagan directing it, Joseph Bizarre composing it, Dick played by Samuel Jackson, Wendy played by Jody Greer, and Jack played by Jim Carrey. All righty then.
What would he say, like, going up those stairs?
When?
When he's, give me the bat.
You give me the bat? I'm trying to think of something he would say.
Wendy, darling, light of my life, I'm not going to hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence.
Let me guess! White devil, white devil?
He just butts in the scene. You didn't let me finish my sentence. Let me guess.
She, like, looks up she's like looking at everything he typed, and she can't make out what it says. It's just all jumbled together, and she's like, "Jack, what does it mean?" He's like, "Guano."
He asked, "You have to speak through your butt to say what he wrote."
He's like, "Laces out."
Pull my finger.
Anywho.
I wonder how many takes Stanley Kubrick would do with Jim Carrey.
Just one. He's perfect.
Yeah. You were right. The backing up the stairs bit was like up. It's so jumbled, like what the correct number is. I've read it's 127 takes. I've read the cinematographer said it was more like 40 takes. I've heard it was 60. The scene where he's Dick Halloran's talking to Danny, it's like 60 plus takes. It's ridiculous.
Hey, he's a particular director. But with that being said, before we go, you got a question?
Let's see here. Here's a good one.
Hang on!
If you... Okay.
Hey, this is what would happen. Be like, "Dad, I'm hungry." "Well, you should have eaten your breakfast. Here, hungry fella."
Here's a good one. Okay, here's my question for you. It's similar to the one I asked earlier, but slightly different. $1 million. You have to stay one night in a hotel, but the night before, you're shown the hotel room. Like, this is the room you're going to be staying at tomorrow night. If you stay the whole night, you'll get $1 million. And upon investigating the room, in the bathroom, you see that old woman walking towards you.
Will she be hot for the first bit?
No.
Ah.
And then you don't see her ever again. Maybe. Will you stay in the hotel the next night for $1 million?
I have to stay all night?
Spend the night.
Can I get out? Like, can I leave the room at some point?
You have to at least close your eyes and sleep for 8 hours.
Is there bed bugs?
She has bed bugs on her skin, but all right, it's in the bathtub.
Not a zip. She might murder me
for $1 million and then no bed bugs.
I don't want to deal with that shit. Murder. Common murder.
See, you should know better. My answer would be yes. And the reason you should know better is you get salt. You surround your bed, you're fine.
But the old lady, you'd wake up. You have to close. You said you have to close your eyes and sleep for 8 hours. The lady would be outside the salt circle, just going, "Ah!"
Yeah, that'd be tough.
It'd be like, would you be able to wake up? I'd give you $1 million if every day for a week, when you woke up, it was sunny as hell, but raining in one spot, and there was just the old guy from the Poltergeist 2 going, "Hoocha!" Right by your work, man. Would you be able to do it?
Nah.
Yes.
Nah.
Hello, Chad.
What if I just interact with him like, "Hi, Bill."
Hello, Chad.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Ah, hell. But anyways, guys and gals out there, that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. We did The Shining this week. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That is our primary site. We post it there first, the podcast, and then we ship it out from there to all the other podcasting sources. So if you listened on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, etc., we're there. You can find us. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That is where we're posting updates to what we're going to be watching during the week, GIFs, memes that Gus makes, ads, clips to the show, etc. And we're retweeting a lot of great shows. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You'll find The Brothers Movie Factory if you type it in the search bar.
And
look us up there. Like us, follow us, share what we post. I post memes every week of what we're watching and links to what Ben mentioned, Twitter, Audioboom, Spotify, and that.
And. So, with that being said, we hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers. Forever and ever and ever.